On today's episode, Bradley talks about where he'd take his family from St. Charles to dinner. Where's the parking?
David says he loves Chicago more than St. Louis.
That's not true.
And Colin pronounces every non-English word incorrectly.
And I'm a small-time cooking YouTuber, Brian Lagerstrom, and I'm here for some reason.
This is overarching.
I'm Colin.
I'm David.
I'm Bradley.
And I'm Brian Lagerstrom, and this is Overarching.
Yeah!
Let's jump into the pledge.
Let's just do the pledge. Yeah. 5, 6, 7, 8, hold on.
I pledge allegiance to Gregory FX Daily, the one to whom we owe it all, and to our taxes, which we prefer to be spent on food, putting affordable, high-quality, healthy food near people who need the food, most notably in neighborhoods that don't have a place to buy the food and require a car to get the food, because the trains and buses that might go near the food don't go near the people who need the food. So they end up going to Dollar General to get the food, and that's not food. Or worse, they just don't get the food. And without the food, you become the food for worms. 1% to the god of yellow envelopes ignored by all.
Excellent. Do you know much about Father Greg?
Daddy Greg, no.
Daddy Greg. Well, he knows to call him Daddy Greg already. Okay, well, yeah, that's good.
Since we both live in the city.
Yeah.
You're familiar with
I
the yellow.
I work in the city, so I have taxes.
Yes, you have the yellow envelopes ignored by...
Yeah,
ignored by all of them.
Us city boys know Daily.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. That's what we call him.
Daily?
Daily.
Daily Daddy? Your Daily Daddy?
He doesn't like... He likes Father.
Okay. Father Daly.
Father Daly.
Probably,
that is probably a person who is in St. Louis. Yeah. He's part of the Archdiocese. Sure.
Yeah.
Or was.
Okay. So, Brian, when did you, because you were a chef in Chicago for quite some time, what were the few restaurants that you worked at in Chicago?
I started a place called Chikashi, which is a fusion, like a Japanese French fusion restaurant. The food was really good. It was like one Michelin star. Just saying.
Whoa. That's like, you threw that away. Like, it was nonchalant. And then he was like, yeah, I get it. I'm very aware.
So
it was so awesome.
I went on to work at a place called Lula Cafe, which is in Logan Square. Really dope. Like, pretty much, I don't know, in my opinion, is like first wave farm to table. And then they've been open forever. I think like 25 years, maybe. Very long time. Institution. Very good food. And then I worked at a place downtown that was kind of for like a theater crowd, rich people, also had a Michelin star.
Just dropping his Michelin stars
like they're candy. It's cool that you do food, but that's not why we brought you here.
I know, yeah, but like that's his background. If people don't know, Brent, like, he's a St. Louisan who has his YouTube channel.
Dear sweet boy,
huh?
I want to believe
what?
That we are going to introduce people to him. He's going to introduce people to
us. Yeah, you're right. But like, you're probably
in case
right.
You don't know.
But maybe you didn't know that he lived in St. Louis. How about that?
Yeah.
We're bringing up the
real, like, you know, the unknown YouTube channels here on Overarching. Brian Lagerstrom,
I'm just happy
everybody.
To be here, guys. Yeah, I feel weird like qualifying with the Michelin star. I'm usually like used to explaining the restaurants I worked at to other cooking people.
Right. Sure.
And that's just like the language. So it's like baked into my thing. Like, oh, where have you worked? Then you just say like the place, where it was, and then like its status.
Well, and it makes sense. Like, I'm sure that in that industry, it's a resume thing, but it's also... It tells somebody, oh, this is what the atmosphere is like. This is what it's like to work there.
This is
your experience is like. It's not about like,
I feel like the show The Bear has done a good job of making the Michelin star like very, very not like people in the cultural milieu of
like the Food Network exists.
Yeah.
Is the bear to your profession like, I don't know, like Haikyuu is to volleyball or like,
are you just saying, is it like,
or like whiplash is to musicians or whatever?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. As in like, it's, there's a lot of it that's super accurate, but a lot of it that's like super cringe or
like,
yeah,
what, like, sure. People come up to
is
you.
Is there
like,
a lot of it that's super cringe?
Like, oh, your wife must be like the bear.
Yeah, no, it is. I think a lot of like regulars, civilians, people who haven't worked in the restaurant industry, like, are like, yeah, it must be crazy, right? And it's like, it is a lot like that. It's very accurate, but it's almost like too accurate. It's like self-aware accurate. You know what I mean?
That can be dangerous.
Kind of pats itself on the back. And I don't know. I've only seen like three episodes. Two. I couldn't even like get through it because it was like very, I don't know. It just made me feel
inducing.
Kind of, but it was also like, this is, it's too self-aware. They're getting the references too right.
That's what, so my friend that also is a chef in Chicago, I said, hey, have you seen this? He's like, I'm never going to watch it on purpose. He's like, I everything that I've heard, he's like, I'm going to get anxiety. I'm going to get like flashbacks.
Yeah.
And like the two accurate things. So that's funny.
They also take the whole anger thing and like the pressure and like all that. They take it to a level that I know for a fact that exists in certain, or I should say existed in certain places. But I mean, like, that's like the 0.01% of restaurants.
Sure.
And it was just like, I know that that's like what sells on TV and stuff, but I think that like that gives people like a false sense of like really where it's at, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Michelin stars, whatever. we brought him here.
Yes, we did.
Because Brian is a little burgeoning. He got orange pilled recently.
Yes, I saw what it is. Yes.
My public transit baby, my yes. Not just bikes, orange pilled.
City planning bug. He got the bug.
He did.
Dude, not just bikes. Is that the gateway drug for like you guys as well?
It's a gateway drug for a lot of yeah. people.
It was for me. I was just sitting on my couch one night in like late 2021 or something, and I'm like, the video comes up, and then like it's 4 hours goes by, and I've watched like every video that he's
suddenly
made.
You're radicalized.
Yeah. And I look out the window, and I'm like, what a world. You know?
We didn't come up that orange. I've heard other people say orange pilled before.
Yeah, it's a thing.
That okay, good.
I haven't heard of that. Yeah. So I'm like very insulated. Like I don't have any friends that know or talk about urban planning at all.
Now you do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My sister works on the planning commission for a town up in Chicago.
Oh, cool.
But it's like her job, so she doesn't really want to talk to me about
it.
She's like, I think she like appreciates me asking questions about it and stuff, but she associates it all with like stressful townspeople trying to like push through like pool houses and stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
That is
a thing. Yeah, that's like a lot of it. The vast majority.
That's kind of what I like about City
like
Planner.
Like zoning and the ways and means and all that stuff.
Yeah. That's kind of what I like about City Planner plays, and we'll get into the you know, the different levels of how you interact with City Planning YouTube.
Yeah.
But yeah. City Planner plays, dude from Madison, Wisconsin, that, you know, was on. I think he was on planning and zoning, but he like it's mostly that, right? It's like us here that are orange pilled, you know, little twerps. Like,
how hard is it to put in more bike lanes, put in more trains? It's like with the bureaucracy of it all.
Right. Yeah. Actually, yeah. It might be pretty hard.
It's so hard in America.
I'm sure it's pretty heroic, the people who get it done.
Yes. Oh, like they deserve massive awards.
They spend their entire life painting the side of a road green and then they die.
Yeah. That's a great segue into, you know, you're getting into the conversations, you're getting into the culture. So what level have you reached? So I believe that there's four maturation levels of city planning.
Of wannabe city
planner. Of wannabe city planner.
Because if you were
like
higher
a wannabe
than these,
city planner.
If you were higher than any of these four levels, you'd be a city planner.
Yes. So the first level being just expressing hatred, but level one is a person just expressing hatred for parking lots and not knowing why. It's the everyday person. People across America do hate parking lots, but they don't know why. At least we think. Maybe they love parking lots. I don't know. Maybe the only good thing about a parking lot is tailgating.
Right? I think people are either mid or below on parking lots. I don't think I've ever met anybody that's like, you know, parking lots.
That's a really good
Yeah, but I feel like you could, like, level one, you start to carry it around with you a little bit and, like, say it out loud. You're like, man, this looks like shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is level one.
Why is the Petco so far away from the street?
Yes.
You know what
level one is the amount of St. Louis content creators that talk about a Brentwood Promenade. That's level one.
Yeah. If you've been to the Brentwood Promenade and you've asked yourself, why does it have to be like this?
You're level one. Yes.
Level two.
You're subscribed to multiple urbanist YouTubers, or you've logged hundreds of hours on City Skylines.
This is what we'd call orange-pilled.
This is orange-pilled. This is the majority of... I think this is the majority of people. This is probably the largest level where most people lie, who are aware.
Who are on this spectrum.
Who are on this spectrum. I'd say...
This is the, set, over, the vault of the bell curve. Like
50% of the people on this bell curve are in this level. I believe that the three of us are at this level. I probably believe the four of us are at this level, honestly.
Oh, I'm deep in level two. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay.
And level three?
And level three... You've taken steps to make meaningful changes in your city, aka forming a strong towns chapter in your city, and actually pushing forward and, you know, working on legislation in your community with your community leaders.
This is right? Like, you know, Citizens for Modern Transit here yes. in the city, people who, you know, donate or they're yeah. into them, people who St. Sure. Louis Urbanist
yes.
that's out there putting the gorilla bus benches.
Yes.
So I've wanted to talk about this. I'm so glad that we got to this level. Yes. St. Louis Urbanist is out there putting these gorilla style bus benches that are just like planks of wood and cinder blocks, the yellow cinder blocks and like red 4x4s that are, you know, non-hostile and like just they're popping up everywhere.
They're kind of like hostels. They're probably like super cheap and, you know, you probably want to sleep on in like in a hostel. When you're on vacation.
Sure.
So you're not far off.
Yeah. I mean, like, they're also for people to take a rest and, yeah. and demarcate the bus bench. The city has taken a few of them away, but they also have just, like, moved a couple. So I don't really know where by moved, I mean, like, moved out of the right of way. So,
oh,
like,
interesting.
The way. So I don't really know what the city thinks about it, but they are happening and it's really cool.
That makes me happy.
It is a great way of fighting the power, yeah. man.
And you're probably wondering what level four is after the fact that we've said level three is the ones that are just like as
out there doing things for real.
Yeah, as involved as you possibly can be before you maybe get to a city planner or like running for office. Level four is you give up and move to the Netherlands.
Yep.
That's level four.
You become orange.
Yeah. And like Not Just Bikes is an extreme case of America sucks and it's never going to change. And the only thing you can possibly do to live in a society where you can walk and bike and not be car dependent is the Netherlands or somewhere in Europe similar. Oh, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet.
I did go to the Netherlands though. Like
oh, yeah.
pretty much because of that channel.
Oh, you did though?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it everything you dreamed it would be?
So like I was very stoked on it. My wife Lauren liked it too, obviously, but I wanted to like ride bikes everywhere and she's like not the best bike rider. Sorry, babe. But she was totally good. Like we rented bikes in multiple cities we've been to, and there's been a few like times where it has been not chill because she's not that good of a bike rider. But there it was like the bikes are super easy to ride. There's paths everywhere.
Yeah,
it's just a dream. And it was like 81 degrees and not a cloud in the sky. We were riding bikes all over Amsterdam. It was pretty sweet.
Nice. Oh, man. Did you go anywhere else besides Amsterdam?
No, just Amsterdam.
Well, I mean, it is quite a large city.
Yeah, what we rode a little bit around the edge of the city, like in the near suburban area.
Sure.
You know, like those videos where Not Just Bikes like rides to the hardware store and back or whatever
to
kind of show it. Like we were kind of out in that intermediate area.
Yeah, but even their suburbs are walkable and bikeable.
We're all solidly level twos. That, you know, we're all orange-pilled here. The importance of having transit-oriented development, blah, 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 we've all heard it before. We talk so much about, like, living near transit. What about eating near transit? I mean, like, you could argue...
And that's what we pledged to.
It's true. We could argue that food is almost more important than shelter. And we talk about shelter... in the conversations around transit-oriented development so much, but like there are neighborhoods in this city that don't have a grocery store or a bus.
Yeah. Like, there was a gentleman who posted, it was like on the STL Urban Forum, that he has to walk 30 minutes just to get to a bus stop.
Right.
Like a bus stop. I thought all bus stops in the city limits of St. Louis were within like a 15 minutes walk or a 20 minute max.
No.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah, not on the north side for sure. I mean, there's some parts on the south side that are also that are 15 minutes plus away. And it's like, but
30 minutes is a lot. That's well over a mile.
Yeah. And that's to get to a bus, not a grocery store.
That's crazy to me.
Like, so there's a step after that.
I don't think I realized that. Well, I obviously didn't, if I'm saying.
So in your like new orange pilled life, I would love to like I don't know. This is an open-ended. I was meaning to bring the conversation in a less harsh, like...
It's okay if it's harsh.
Let's talk about food and transit.
Yeah.
On the north side of St. Louis, there's one Schnucks. I could be wrong.
What? Yes, there is a Schnucks.
There's a Schnucks at Union and MLK, I believe.
Yes.
Or Natural Bridge.
And then if you consider like Central West End and Lindell here, right?
I don't.
It's Central Corridor, so it's not.
It's not the north side.
No, it's not.
I'm not walking into the Central
there
West.
There was a Fields Food that shut down.
Well, Fields is a whole animal too.
Yeah, we can go in. That's a whole nother segment.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So like that whole store. No more. They were like really overpriced.
Yes.
They never, I know like their mission statement was all about like putting food in food deserts, and they did that.
Yeah.
You know, they like there was one, I had a Fields.
But their owner was like absolutely awful at paying.
Right.
Literally just. And like, I don't have enough money to pay.
You could probably argue that it was a result of like growing way too fast and
yeah.
bankrupting his own business.
He expanded too fast.
So fast. Yeah. I mean, like Fields Foods were popping up every few days for a minute there. Central West End, Dogtown, the one on Washington downtown, which I went to a lot actually. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, you could walk there kind of, but could you afford it? So it's like, does it matter?
There's always something kind of wacky about Fields Foods. You're in there, you're like, who exactly is this for? Exactly. Like, it's not very well aimed at the demographic.
Yeah.
So like, I think that's one reason why the pricing was probably wacky, is that they had like a lot of food prepared in-house. They had like a small organic section. Then they would have like lots of kind of junky, very cheap snack foodie type stuff. It was like, we're trying to be a grocery store for all people, which is cool. But I feel like then you have like a gigantic assortment and that like kind of eats into the bottom line because you have to have so much inventory, and that makes it for like probably a pretty hard type of grocery store to run. Like if you think about like your Dierbergs or your Schnucks or the Whole Foods, they all have kind of a niche in the grocery space. And I think that like Fields Foods didn't really have a thing or a niche.
You're kind of right.
That is true. I never thought, I mean, like I've shopped at Fields Foods a lot, and it really is both like it's Save-A-Lot and Strob's together.
Yeah. It's weird. It's a weird combination. Yeah. So I don't know if that led to it being not very financially successful or not.
It's Save-A-Lot and Strob's together in places that need a Save-A-Lot or better, you know, like as far as like affordability is concerned. Because it's like, you know, the one near me is right at the top of the Peabody.
Sure.
And it's like, you know, sure, that's a food desert. You could say that's a food desert. The closest Schnucks is the one on Grand and Gravois. And you got to like take the 10 a while to get there, or you got to walk. And that's a long walk.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And there's really, I mean, there's not really a good grocery store to speak of downtown. So the Peabody, it had that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, sure, some stuff is food stampable. Some stuff is cheap. The produce was always kind of, and it's like, you can't, you can't buy prepared food.
Yeah.
Like, fact check me on this. My dad was on food stamps for a while. I'm pretty sure you cannot buy prepared food or most prepared foods.
Oh, interesting.
With EBT. So, like... Huh.
Well, this is something that I've thought of for a while. So, like, the history of food in St. Louis, the Straubs and the Dierbergs go back very far. Like, those families. Early to mid-1800s, they were grocers in St. Louis. Schnucks are relatively newer. But man, the Dierbergs like have so much money. So much money. And so Straub's do still as well. But
you know where Dierbergs won't move though? The city.
But exactly, they don't have anything in the city. My point being, they're not. Well, it's funny you say that. They're right next to the Brentwood stop for the transit.
So, yeah. So, Dierbergs actually has. I used to shop there when I lived in the Grove.
It's got to be one of the best locations for groceries in the entire Gateway area.
It might be the best transit-oriented grocery store in the region.
And what think, like, Dierbergs, some people think is still, like, higher end. And they definitely have some higher-priced goods, etc. But you can catch them on... like certain days of the week with coupons, and it's actually very affordable. And I'm going to look into this camera and I'm going to talk to the Dierbergs family, because you're sitting and hoarding wealth, and that's just not okay. And we have a plan to build out a lot more like public facing infrastructure in these food deserts of St. Louis, in the north side especially, where we're getting a north-south Jefferson line. Hopefully, it's still in the planning phase, but for the love of God. And we're expanding potential like bus lines as well. And please work with the city and the East-West Gateway Council and just Metro in general. Please work with them, because you are currently helping a lot of people with that Brentwood stop. You are. Work
one
with
at Ewing Yard, baby.
Okay, you've got a crap ton of money. For the love of God, just give it away. Okay,
please.
Okay,
1% to the god.
I don't know if I know any of you guys, but do it.
For the record, you cannot use your SNAP benefits to buy alcohol or tobacco, which is fine.
Interesting.
But also hot prepared foods or foods prepared to be immediately eaten. So that I think largely includes like microwavable stuff. You also, the thing that you was at Fields as well, vitamins, medicine, and supplements, you also can't buy. There was a huge vitamin section because it was trying to be Straub's or like Fresh Thyme. Yeah. And also, this is news to me. I didn't realize this. Non-food items such as paper products, soap, or pet food.
Oh.
So you can't, and like pet food, but like paper products.
Toilet paper?
Yep. No toilet paper, no soap.
What the frick, dude?
Yep.
Smoothest transition of all time. Hey, Brian, we're gonna do something that I'm very excited about, because I want to get rid of a specific question in St. Louis. And so instead, I'm going to ask you 10 questions. What's your bar?
Oh, I don't have a bar anymore.
Anymore?
We don't drink really. So when I first moved here, I used to go to Jack Patrick's downtown a lot because my friends worked there. Yeah, that was it. And then now bars are,
It's not really a part of your rhythms.
Yeah, I don't want to be like a square, but I just don't. I don't really live in a part of town that really has any good bars either. So I live in like
a bar desert.
Yeah, bar desert, exactly. There's the Chrome Bar reopened by my house.
Yes.
I haven't been, but.
Tim's.
Is it any good?
Tim's Chrome Bar. It's really great. It's about as vibey as it gets in the city.
It's the same owners as Bevo Mill and the Bouquet Club and a couple other places. And they. Their wonton thing that they have on their menu like might be the best thing I've ever put in my mouth.
Bold claim.
That is a bold claim.
Yeah, food or otherwise.
Can I just hear like real quick like what the group's bar is?
The what?
Like what the bars are for you guys?
Oh yeah, sure.
Oh, what our bars? Mm. What our bar is?
CBGB's for me.
Well, like obviously you have to say Greenfish, but
CBGB for me because I love being put on display while pooping at a bar. The two bathrooms at CBGB.
That's by far the best part of CBGB.
The two bathrooms at CBGB are legendary. You got the one, the men's room, which is right at the end of the bar with no lock on the door and no stall. So when you open, if you are on that toilet, the whole bar is looking right down the barrel.
Yeah.
And then, even better, in the women's room, it is just two toilets that face each other.
Huh.
No other things. You can have dinner.
Oh yeah,
it's yes, fun.
You're right.
It's a fun place.
You're right.
CBGB, Tazu Marshall. Shout out. Go visit him on Sundays and
nice.
And also record some music with him and buy some cheap drinks. CBGBs.
This is gonna sound like a pitch, but I genuinely mean it. My bar is Greenfinch.
Shut the fuck.
I know that. I know that. But that's my bar. Like that's where I hang out. I hang out at your bar.
You do.
I hang out at Greenfinch. That is where...
And we charge him for the drinks.
Yeah.
We do that.
I pay for... first of all, I pay for... Don't say I charge. I pay for them. Okay? That makes me look bad. Yes. I know that's a cop-out, but it's true. That's the truth.
That's cute, David. We love you.
I love you too.
Thank you for the pitch. Why don't you say that on your nice big platform?
I have. I've made a video about the bar, you dingbat.
Why don't you do it again?
We'll do it later.
fucking bread ass hat.
Did you pay him for it though, dude?
We'll talk
you
about getting, the bread.
You, is he paying you for that brand deal, dude?
No, he's not paying me anything.
This hey, look, there's a house.
I paid him money.
That's fair. Yeah. I guess you did. But
all right.
Yeah. Honestly, I like have gone out so little since becoming a bar owner. It's funny. Like,
are you about to say my bar is green?
No. But legitimately, like, it's funny. Like my having access to all the alcohol. I just don't have time to drink any of it.
So Bradley and I, when we lived together, our bar...
It was Bottle Works.
Schlafly
Bottle Works.
Because we live right next to it.
Yeah. When you guys were almost in a common law marriage?
Yes. Yeah. We lived right next to it for literally all 6 years we were together. And so, we were there on Wednesday nights, the jazz nights, and we were hanging out with Tony, the bartender there. Tony was one of the best bartenders in the city, by the way.
You know what our old bar was, too, that I think Rip also, not Rip, but Bottle Works still around, Old Sophie's.
Yeah, Old Sophie's.
Old Sophie's was the bar. Was
Sophie's
the, was
Artist
the spot.
Lounge. You familiar?
Sorry, no.
Not enough people were. Now, Sophie's Artist Lounge still exists. It's now a club plucked out of Miami, Florida. Very
really
cool.
Is,
honestly, like, they have DJs every night they're open. It is really
yeah,
cool
we went
in
there. On a Beyonce night once.
It is so
it
neat.
So
it is
great.
Not my vibe. Old. It could also could not be a different bar from what it was before,
that's true.
Which was a bar that nobody knew about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Above the theater in the Zach. That was just like a long, skinny room with a piano, and sometimes Adam Manis played there, and it
yeah,
was wonderful.
And the greatest like yeah. jazz musician in St. Louis just would sometimes show up there.
Yeah,
it was
and,
so
and,
great.
And their liquor selection was outstanding,
top notch.
Jeremy, like,
oh yeah,
tremendous yeah. bartender. So it's like, yeah, yeah, and now it's,
yeah.
Boo,
yeah, you walk in
the entire time.
Hey,
yeah.
All right.
That's great.
Nice. So okay, anyway. Question two.
Yeah, I feel like my answer to question one is kind of lame.
We don't have to talk about all of ours. This is to get to know you better.
Yeah, sorry.
It's all good.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that I
how dare you.
Yeah, no, feel no. free. We like talking about ourselves too.
Who doesn't? What and from where is your sandwich?
What and from where is my sandwich? Okay, there is a correct answer. I would say my sandwich is probably I made up a bunch of sandwiches at a place in St. Louis that like I would my sandwich should be like a sandwich on the loafers menu. That like I designed, so it's not like I think that's not a good answer.
Brand integration.
Yeah. I would probably go for like a tidy boy at Union Bagel. That's a really good sandwich.
That's great. That's a fine answer. Everybody, let's give him the correct answer.
Blue City Deli. What?
Where did you say, David?
The tri-tip.
At Adams?
Nope. At LeGrand's.
Blue City Deli. Okay, interesting.
but that's not the name of the sandwich.
What's the sandwich?
No, the sandwich.
Oh, for me, it's the feisty tuna.
And for me, it's the Thunderbird with no tomatoes.
Thunderbird is incredible. Yeah, that's good. But I like the tri-tip from. We don't need to talk about ourselves.
Number three.
This is about Brian. So you like Union?
Yeah, I would go to Union Bagel and get a bagel sandwich, fully loaded, like lox and bagel, or the Tidy Boy, which has everything bagel seasoning on the inside.
So, I'm sorry. What?
I haven't been to Union Bagel yet.
It has it on the inside?
Oh, yeah. It's Ted Wilson, the owner. He was like, you know, it's his cute little thing, but they put the everything bagel seasoning on the inside of the sandwich so you can eat it like in your car.
Yeah.
And not
that's a tremendous idea. And that's the same owner as Union Loafers, right?
Yeah.
God, some of the best bread in the freaking universe.
Yeah. I mean, my initial answer was going to be like the pastrami on rye at Union Loafers, but like that would be not fair because.
But that's pretty iconic. People are starting to talk about that sandwich around town.
It's pretty special.
It is.
It's pretty special. But like, again, it's like not fair. It's like my favorite sandwich is this sandwich I put on this menu at this place. Like, that's not a good answer.
What is your favorite animal at the zoo and why?
I don't know. I found out that there was a reptile house there pretty recently. I'm not saying I'm a reptile guy, but that was a cool experience. I was like, we were in there in the middle of winter and I was like, I haven't been over here. We were just kind of going for a walk around the zoo and I'm like, it was really cold and we walked in and it was like the reptile house is super hot. And it kind of felt for a second you could convince yourself you're in like Natural History Museum, New York City. Like it has that vibe kind of.
Sure, yeah.
It's that really beautiful. I've been,
it's a gorgeous building.
What do they call it? Like a herpaceum?
Herpetarium.
Herpetarium.
Yeah.
I like a herpaceum better. It's a coliseum of just like lizards. Like,
it's where you can herpaceum.
I'm not like a lizard. I'm not like a lizard head though. You know, the big cats are cool. I think, I think the cheetahs, or like, they have a cheetah there.
They do.
It paces, which is a little bit of a bummer, but
it paces a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jaguar.
That's a notorious pacer.
The jaguars are also very beautiful.
Mm. Good. I like the answers.
Those classic Indiana cheetahs.
Your favorite local celebrity and why?
I don't really keep
da, 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 da.
I don't really keep a whole lot of tabs on people that are from St. Louis.
Sure. As a Chicagoan.
Damn.
Right?
I don't.
Damn.
So,
shame.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Shame.
I could say like my favorite St. Louisan, like somebody who lives in St. Louis.
Sure.
My favorite. Ted Wilson is my favorite St. Louisan. And he's kind of a celebrity.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of people know Ted.
I feel like he's become one.
For sure. He went to Burroughs, so he literally knows everybody in St. Louis. So.
Oh, yeah. So is he going to make a sandwich called the John Ham?
I forgot John Ham. John Ham was from here.
And he went to Burroughs.
He's like the biggest
one. He went to Burroughs and taught at Burroughs for a year.
Yeah.
Well, he taught Ellie Kemper for a year.
There's a big connection between Ted's family and John's family. Or John. John lived with Ted's family.
John Ham?
Yeah.
Oh, I just made the John Burroughs connection, and that just happened to be true.
That's such a St. Louis thing.
That is
my
that
favorite.
Is
my insane. Favorite local.
We're not talking about
David Lemon.
Oh, shut your mouth. No, do I not have to pay for my drinks now?
They still do. Now you have to pay more because you're famous.
God damn.
Because famous.
I make $0.
If you're famous, you're rich.
We make zero money from this show. Okay.
I just feel like my first four answers have been pretty, like I've gotten them wrong. And like, let's keep going.
No, you're about to get them right. What?
We believe in you.
you're not from St. Louis, but you've lived here for quite some time.
Yeah, well, like going on, I think like 13 years.
Jeez.
Nice.
Long
that
time.
Counts. That's longer than Colin.
That's longer than me. I've lived here 9 years.
What do you miss most when you're gone?
That you don't have to wait in line for stuff. That's pretty cool.
Ooh, good. Yeah, that's a really good answer. Actually.
He's never been to Blue City Deli, obviously.
Oh,
they moved that
yeah,
line,
I'm not going, and I'm not going. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No,
man.
Blue City Deli.
Man, this guy's tuna's feisty. Am I right?
That I haven't thought about that. That makes a lot of sense. Also, when you were talking about the zoo and just like going for a walk, the zoo is you can go to the zoo just to walk around.
Yeah,
it's great. An excellent place. To do that. All right. Which of these suck the most? Now, this is difficult because you're from Chicago. The Blackhawks, the Predators, the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Reds, or Sporting Kansas City?
I would say the Cubs probably. Yeah. I have bad taste in my mouth from the Cubs in general.
Dude, I'm so glad you brought this up.
Wow!
I need to speak on this. This is on my heart.
I didn't see this coming.
No, I'm a Cardinals fan. I like from the day I got here, I was like, you know what? Fuck the Cubs.
So I was not, because my whole family's from Chicago.
Yes,
I grew up in Florida, so I tried to be a Marlins fan, but nobody gave a shit. So it was,
I loved early Marlins.
Early Marlins is great.
Early Marlins core, some of the best.
97 Marlins was some of the
sweet logo.
Honestly, the best. I saw a dude on the bus the other day.
Color scheme.
Old Marlins hat and a whole teal tracksuit. And I was like, that's who I want to be when I grow up.
That sounds awesome.
And he was just like getting his shit done. Anyway.
That's because people who wear Marlins stuff get
shit done. Yeah. You can either wear a business suit to your meeting or you can wear that. And either are totally acceptable. Yeah. Anyway, I grew up a Cubs fan because that's, you know, by proxy. This is what I'm second gen. I was a first generation Floridian. But when I moved here, I fought it, you know, like, cause it's like changing religions, you know, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And you know what got me, you know, what was the first like chink in the armor for my faith in the Cubs?
Highlights of Ray Lankford.
No, it was getting off the red line
dude.
And walking like into Wrigley Field and past, I think it was Clark Street Sports that had all these shirts for sale that said St. Louis is boring.
That's rough.
And it's just like that is, and it's like,
and you know who said that?
Me, like 14 years ago.
Oh, for real? No, Chris Bryant.
Yeah, I know. I know it was a quote, but still, it's like they capitalized on all that. And it's, man, dude, like it was right after 2016, which was one of the most, like, the greatest time ever to be a baseball fan, especially as a Cubs fan. Oh. One of the best World Series of all time.
Oh, believe me.
And it's believe like, me. There was nothing I would give up. To like go back to that time and not be a Cubs fan,
because
it was truly amazing. But like that next year, I saw that shit and it was like, man, dude, like you guys just want, like you just got a taste of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, and also it's like super fucking uninformed. As a person who knows both cities very well, like we got one of everything Chicago's got, at least, you know, it's not boring.
That's what you're getting at.
Other people can ruin stuff, though, pretty, like, they do a pretty good job of it. Like, the vibe around Wrigley Field on a game day or, like, game night, now that they have night games, it sucks. Or, like, I mean, I'm sure like you get down to Ballpark Village, it's not the best either, but like I started liking the Cardinals kind of before the Ballpark Village thing was there.
Yeah.
And it was just a totally different vibe than I was used to at Wrigleyville. Like Lauren, my wife, worked at the Metro, which is like a music venue.
Yeah.
Like a block away.
Yeah.
And she just has like dozens of stories of getting like grabbed and stuff like in the crowds. And it's just it's like, they're just buttheads. So I was just like, eh, I don't want to be a part of that.
I'm not saying Ballpark Village is without fault by any means.
No, it like, definitely has its issues.
It is, and it is manufactured for sure. Oh, whereas like Wrigley Field is obviously not. Like it is the organic thing.
We got phase
thing,
three
really
coming
cool.
in probably at the end of this year.
But what Ballpark Village does really well is like keep the crowd sort of separate, other than that one inside part, like keeps the crowd kind of separated.
Other than the one area where everybody is.
But it feels more family friendly.
Sure.
Than it does around Wrigley Field.
That's an interesting way to put it. Wrigley Field doesn't feel that family friendly. I mean, I haven't been there in like 9 years, but
I went there. I mean, like I said, I just went there a few years ago and I played like my old band played around there a couple times, like in some of those bars. And it was like, they are like, I mean, they're like really collegey, like drink as much as you possibly can kind of bars. And it's like, that's cool and everything. But like, you know who needs to like baseball in order for baseball to stay baseball? Kids.
And that's why it still exists so well here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. You are born with either like...
You're born with a baseball in your mouth.
You're either born with a bat in your hand or a soccer ball at your feet. You're either, it's like, or both. So I actually don't hate the Cubs anymore.
To be on record, the question was very charged with emotion.
Which of these suck the most? So like
David charged with emotion?
No, the one that the correct there is a correct answer. Like
I wouldn't
the
say
Cubs
I hate
is
them,
the correct answer for you. Okay, it's great. It's not for me. That's Sporting KC, and you know why. But the Cubs. My grandmother grew up on the north side of Chicago for 60. So she lived there for 65 years. Same house. In Highland Park, and like is the largest baseball fan in the universe. She passed in 19, but so she got to see the 16 World Series, and she is just this 4'11" little Italian lady that when you put a ball cap on her, she just looks like a kid, you know, watching a baseball
game.
That's
an old
and
child.
She knows like every single one of the players, like past and present, right? And so like during that 2016 World Series, I have this video, and maybe I'll. You know, maybe we'll show it. But it like changed my entire like view of the Cubs because of like her reaction was just insane. Like she lost it, started bawling. But
I definitely have some nostalgic moments from going to day games as a kid, like double headers. And I don't know if it was more or less family friendly when you're like nine, you don't know that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I have some fond memories, especially like the ballpark is sick.
Yeah,
but I think that they've modernized a lot of stuff. So
they did,
and probably for a good reason. Like they, like it, you have to
the
make
troughs.
Money. Did they take them out?
They took them out. I'm pretty sure.
The fence, like the little dudes, the little
foul, the urinals
catch. Oh, never mind.
The trough urinals.
It was like a 50 foot long steel pan.
It was amazing.
It was very loud.
It was so awesome. I loved it.
Man, I thought it was the little fence thing that caught the foul balls. I should have not been peeing in those.
Best spot. Question 7. Best spot to read a book, inside or out? Be specific.
In general or in St. Louis?
In St. Louis.
Best spot to read a book? Oh, Art Hill.
This is a show about St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the best spot for me to personally read a book is in my bed in the south side of St. Louis.
Yeah.
Indoors. And then, like, great. The outdoors would be Art Hill, of course. Although, like, I think the secondary would be World's Fair Pavilion because the grass is a little better. It's not as wet over there. I get a wet butt a lot of times sitting, whenever we're having picnics on Art Hill, it's a little bit swampy in certain areas.
So there's better drainage is what you're saying.
Yeah. I think they did a better job mitigating the water drainage over on
landscape architecture.
Bring it back to infrastructure.
Landscape architecture. All right.
Brian, why does your bed have to be on the south side of St. Louis?
That's stupid.
It's just where it is.
What should St. Louis's new slogan be?
If we're trying to get people to move St. Louis, to St. Louis, it should be like, St. Louis, it's not as bad as you thought.
Yeah, that's good.
St. Louis, please.
Yeah. St. Louis, I promise. Like, don't look at the numbers.
Yeah.
St. Louis, no, like, seriously.
St. Louis, there's no line at the airport.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. We could do this all night. St. Louis, no, I promise. That's really good.
St. Louis, we have Whole Foods here.
We also have Whole Foods.
We do. And and a full on like St. Louis specific Whole Foods in Straub's.
Rapidly declining Whole Foods, though, I should say.
The one in Brentwood too. Yeah.
Rip.
Okay. You didn't grow up here, so this one doesn't make a lot of sense. So maybe we should skip it. We'll skip it.
Said 10 questions.
Yeah, I know. It's the best childhood memory in St. Louis.
Do you have any childhood?
I have a childhood. Like, I guess you're 17 counts.
It's childhood.
Okay. Yeah. First time I ever came to St. Louis. I was, a little bit of an emo head in high school.
The emo people say. Emo heads.
Yeah, I was into it.
Yeah.
Emotional rock music. That's what I was into. And there was this band playing here. It was the last show at the Creepy Crawl ever.
Wow. Like, you know how much cred you just earned?
Dude.
That's a better childhood memory than a lot of people who actually lived here's childhood
what
memory.
What an amazing thing to just drop it. I was at the last Creepy
And the Creepy Crawl, show. Creepy Crawl, weirdly, 2 Michelin stars.
Yeah. So that was a good memory. Went to that show and then went to the Arch.
Who'd
the
next you see?
Day. It was a band called Say Anything.
Yes. We're very aware.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So you guys were emotional rockers as well, or?
Yeah.
And they had that one hit. They had that one big song. I can't remember what it's called.
Sure. Yeah, I don't even know if you would call that emo, but it definitely was like of the time.
It's like pop rocky.
Yeah.
No, it's pop punk.
Pop punk.
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover.
I would say Anything's probably pop punk with a little bit of hint of emo.
Yeah.
I feel like they fall in the same category as Fort Lauderdale's Finest, Newfound Glory. I think Newfound Glory falls into like is in a Venn diagram with emo.
Is a pop punk emo.
Correct. Yeah, let's do a whole podcast on that.
Pop punk emo?
Would.
Good okay. Charlotte.
If you
I'm sure there's a podcast in Charlotte that's like this exact podcast, us in alternate world Charlotte called Good Charlotte.
Excellent.
Yeah.
and finally, if you're telling somebody about St. Louis, what's the first thing you tell them about?
Forest Park.
That's such a good answer.
It literally is true.
It might be like the best answer.
It is definitely the gateway park to St. Louis's
park
greater
systems.
It's the gateway piece of information to getting people interested in St. Louis. I have a friend that moved here somewhat recently from Florida also, and the Forest Park and the 1904 World's Fair and that whole like that history was like definitely one of the things that was like, "Oh, really?"
And we said this last episode or a few episodes ago that like Forest Park is like a singular reason to visit St. Louis.
Yes. Yeah.
Period.
This is not a flex, but I've been to Central Park in the last like 2 years. I've been to Central Park. I've been to Reparo Park in Madrid. We went to 3 or 4 parks in Tokyo. We went to parks in Paris, and there are no parks
Amsterdam.
In Seoul. Yeah, Amsterdam. Actually, there really aren't parks
are
in
no
the city
parks
center.
In Seoul?
Really not. I mean, like, Seoul is, I mean, that's like, it's really hard to characterize it because it's such a big place, but I did not see a single park the whole time. There is like a park that's like, because it's a big hill, I don't think they could build buildings on it. So there is like a kind of a parky type thing, but there's also, it's a hill. Like,
sure.
I mean, I don't want to say there's zero parks. I didn't see any.
Well, and
I'm just
like,
saying
there's
that,
no like big parks. There's
not like massively planned
parks. It's just heavily urbanized.
Yeah. And so, like, having been in those big cities, like, without a shadow of a doubt, Forest Park is the best. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt. The second best park is Reparo Park. I think it's called Reparo Park in Madrid. That's the second best park I've been to. And then the third would be Central Park. Tokyo's parks were big and plentiful, but they were very, they weren't like that well maintained. I was kind of surprised.
I always say
with one huge caveat. There's a paid park that you go to look at the cherry blossoms. You have to pay to get into it, and that's the best park I've ever been to in my entire life. But you have to pay to get into it, so it's not really on the same.
I mean,
list.
They probably the work
that's called
that they
a,
have to keep
it's called
to
a botanical
maintain.
Gardens. It's called a botanical gardens. At
yeah,
that botanical
yeah. gardens. Yeah.
We have a really nice tree park too.
We have tree park.
We have tree park as well that you have to pay.
I guess it is called a gardens. I don't think they even call it a park, but it was sick.
Yeah, I'm partial to in Munich, Germany. There's the English Gardens, and it's like 2 times the size of Forest Park. It is,
and it's like a planned park.
Planned park. It is unbelievable. Super cool,
dude. That's
I would say it's on par with Forest Park, if not. If not,
ooh, baby.
If you haven't gone, you got to go. It's insane. Thank you for being known. Thank you for being known and telling us your St. Louis questionnaire answers.
All right, I think it's time
for some games.
Let's play a game.
Let's play a game.
We're gonna play a game.
We're gonna
and it's gonna be right up your alley.
Restaurant draft for today's restaurant draft. We have five categories. So you think of a normal draft, like baseball, you're going to pick your catcher, you're going to pick your pitcher, you're going to pick your shortstop, whatever. So you can think of it like that. There's some positions, but there's some specific categories that we all need to fulfill in this draft. Each person gets five picks, and the categories that you need to fill are, number one, a place where you would take your family from St. Charles. Number two, your favorite place with a sticky floor. Number three, where you go when the CEO is paying. Number four, the best, not a restaurant. Do it that way you will. And number five, a restaurant where we would feel like, you know, colonizers a little bit.
For those that don't know what that means, I'm going to say it, but ethnic food.
Ethnic.
That is specifically run by...
Ethnic people.
Jeez, that's just horrible.
It feels so bad.
And you know, a absolutely great city for that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Lots of selections in that category. Yeah. So good on St. Louis for that.
And you don't have to pick them in these orders. You can kind of, you know, prioritize whatever you think is going to go hottest.
And yes, we know that Bryant's going to win. We are very aware that Bryant's going to win. All right? Like, don't...
Who decides? Tell us in
the comments. The people in the comments.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, for round one, I'm going to take my I feel like a colonizer here pick. I'm telling myself a little bit because, like, one, when we were setting this up, I was like, I'm like, man, I don't go to any restaurants. I'm poor and busy. But I wanted to make sure I had a good one in this category, so I'm stealing one that Colin introduced me to.
Oh, no.
This is pure strategy, and just to keep myself from going, later on, it's Truck Lamb.
Damn, I'm literally typing that just now.
Truck Lamb on South Gravois, on Gravois. Colin, tell everybody about it.
It's the best.
Did you do that, like, literally just to piss him off?
Not just to piss him off.
You do this with every draft.
No.
You took Michael McDonald from me.
Well, that was the one time.
Oh, I forgot he was from St. Louis. Damn it.
Yeah.
You watch our St. Louis baseball draft.
Michael McDonald is a freaking legend.
Oh, man. Chuck Lamb is, if you want to take your opinions on Vietnamese food from a white guy, it is the best Vietnamese food in the city.
That's how you say it.
Yeah, Vietnamese. I was gonna. Damn it.
Vietnamese.
Best Vietnamese food in the city. It's solid. It's Truck without a K, Lamb without a B, baby. Truck Lamb, Spring and Gravois. Flamenco is the lady's name who owns the place.
Cool.
She's great, and you know, because I form a relationship at these restaurants. Yeah. You come in here and just take them from me.
I mean, if that's not the most appropriate pick.
Yeah. You colonized my pick.
Well,
sorry,
and I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I am taking myself with the CEO for my first pick because I am scared. I'm scared that somebody else is going to pick it. And I'm wearing its hat right now.
Interesting.
Bread.
I'm not. No. It's Louis. The answer is Louis. And I feel like if you know me, like it was going to, I had to do it. Sean, the head chef there, is unfreaking believable. Matt, the owner of the establishment, is like, he owns Wright's as well and like does just top notch food service in St. Louis. I can't get a bad food or drink at any of those establishments, but Louis just. Also, like, what place just has someone say, "Hey, don't do anything else. Just get the roast chicken. I promise." Like, what place on earth is just like, "I swear to God, it's got so many great dishes. Roast chicken." Like, what?
They give you the whole menu. They give you the whole menu and they're like, "Nah, roast chicken."
It's so good. I've never, like, I've only had it a couple times because I like trying other things on the menu. But man, it's just top notch.
What a glowing review.
Go Louis.
Agree.
You named your son after it.
I named my son after the city.
Of what?
Chicago.
Okay. With the number three pick, I'm going to go with a safe choice as well for the where you take your family from St. Charles. It's Zia's on the Hill. It's Zia's. I mean, where else do you go?
You take your family.
Take them there, and they're like, "Oh wow, this is in the city. Oh, I had to park two blocks away. These streets are so narrow. Why did you bring me here?" And then they go, and they're like, "This was really good." It's the interaction is exactly the same every single time you bring somebody.
Did we say already what the categories were?
Yeah,
we had to pick?
I listed them for 60 seconds. No, you're not.
All right.
Exactly the same interaction every single time you go to Zia's. It's Zia's. It's consistent. It is on the hill, and it starts with a Z. Actually, really, really, really genuinely good penny alla vodka. I know because I went there with my family, not from St. Charles, from South County, yesterday.
Hi, Brent.
And the one informed pick.
CEO's paying Wright's Tavern.
Tell us a little about Wright's Tavern for us.
I mean, like, so it's like, you know, the number one pick was already taken, right?
Did I take that?
I was Louis was going to be on my list somehow.
That makes me feel so good.
Yeah. Matt and Sean are two very close friends. And,
oh, cool.
But that's not to say, like, that's not why I like the restaurant.
yeah, sure.
Wright's is just the sickest. If you like to eat food, go there. But it is like a little on the higher end side, as it should be, because they're serving the best quality.
Yeah, that's why you take your CEO.
Yeah, it's so sick, man. It's the best. And then you finish the meal with ice cream sundae with hot fudge with like all these sick fixings. And it's just, okay, like the full pitch on Wright's is that it's kind of like a old school steakhouse / tavern feel. So they have steaks, they've got shrimp scampi, they've got like wedge salad. They've got onion rings. It's kind of like Peter Luger's-y, but better. I haven't been to Peter Luger's, but I'm sure Wright's is better. I'm sure it is.
I would imagine.
Yeah, it's just like the best place in the world.
Nice.
That is such a pitch, man. Yeah. It's the best thing in the world.
It's the best place in the world.
Best place in the world.
Like not even a restaurant.
Like I contend Louis is the best place in the world every single birthday. Every single birthday is spent at Louis for me. Every special occasion is Louis for me.
That's crazy.
If I was going to make a top five of places where where you weren't trying to get a good spread of like, I want to make sure I get some budget places in there too, of just like places that I have the most fun and enjoy to eat at, Louis and Wright's are in the top two.
So you get another pick.
Oh, I do. Okay. Yeah, yes. So I would say where the floor is sticky, I would say, Pho Long on Grand. That floor is
back.
That floor is real sticky.
Is it back yet?
Yeah, it's back. Yeah, I was waiting for the bus across the street the other day. Okay, it was open.
Yeah, good. So we used to go to Pho Grand, and I was like kind of mid on it, but it was good enough. And
Pho Grand is the one that's coming back.
Pho Long.
You said Pho Long. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we used to go to Pho Grand, and I was always... Chicago has very, very good Vietnamese food. And so Pho Grand was like a good stopgap, and I was enjoying it, and I was like, oh, this is good enough. It's scratching the itch. And then they closed, so... One day we were just kind of like cruising Grand, and I was like, let's try this place. It looks horrible on the outside. Like, it's in the worst block of Grand. Like, it's not good.
Excellent.
It's not right next to that subway that may or may not be open.
Yeah. Also may not be a subway.
Next door to it is a Chinese food restaurant, like Hong Kong Express or something.
Dude,
like that.
Hong Kong Express and
like,
fucks.
Does it really? Yeah. Does it really?
He loves it.
Because like,
he loves Hong Kong Express.
It was actually, I mean, I'm not going to say anything. It was in contention for that same category.
I'll just say looking through the window, it does not look like it fucks. And then there's like the other storefronts on that area are all boarded up. So you're just like, man, what am I getting into? And you go in and it's great. And the pho is very, very, very good. As somebody who's never been to Vietnam and is not Vietnamese, I say it's very good.
I think you mean Vietnamese.
That's right.
Vietnamese.
Yeah. So Wright's for the CEO and Pho Long for the sticky floor.
Excellent start. What an excellent start. Remember when I said Brian was going to win this?
Let's find out.
Restaurant where we specifically would feel like colonizers. It's apparently the number two restaurant in America.
Don't do it!
And rightfully so. It's in a strip mall. It's Menu Rui, baby.
Have you been yet?
No, my wife's gluten-free, so it's hard for us to eat there together. Well,
it's honestly hard to even eat there as a vegetarian. I'm not going to lie. But they have one thing that I can eat, and it is so good. But I'm not going to lie. I tried a couple bites of my wife's food when she went there, and it is... Oh my God,
why does it make you feel like a colonizer, though? He's not Japanese, is he? The guy who runs it?
I don't actually know. This category, for me, is more about like, hey, here's the non-white food. Mm. I mean, like,
made by a white guy.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But for me, it's Menyarui. I mean, like, I feel like it would when you're considering non-American food in St. Louis, it has to be in the conversation. It's so good. It's just so good.
We'll let the comments.
Sorry,
decide.
let comments. You can hate me. If you sit there and you're like, wah, wah, like, go try it.
All right, I'm gonna take my colonizer. Pick. I am very excited about this one because I don't think anybody.
David really Lemon, knows. Very excited to colonize. Mm.
So I'm going to talk about. So it's a Mexican restaurant, and it is just off. It is at Morgan Ford and Bingham, and it should be pretty close to you. I know you live in that neck of the woods. It is called. I'm so white. Fonda La Poblanita. Okay,
that actually wasn't too bad.
If you, I genuinely mean this. I have it on good authority from the people that I go there with all the time.
Your butthole is so tight right now.
I just, it is so good. They. Have
here's the way to tell if it's really that good. Would you take your family from St. Charles there?
No, no.
Too spicy?
Not even.
Or two in the city?
It can be spicy. Oh, just two in the city, and it's a hole in the wall, and it's awesome. Like so.
That's not like the most glamorous stretch of Morgan Ford on a street that's already not that glamorous.
It's not glamorous. It's not glamorous. It's
exactly
by any
like
means.
Two blocks of
but
Morgan
my
Ford
God,
that is glamorous.
And here's the reason I know it. It's not like I had like a strenuous activity that day and like after a hike and I went to eat and I was like, oh my God, that's the most amazing thing because, you know, anytime you do a hike, you're just like, any food is the best thing I've ever eaten, you know? Like it was just a normal day and I was absolutely like, it's like somebody punched me in the arm and was like, wake up, you're eating one of the best meals of your life. I went with a few of my friends from Garcia Properties and a few of the Garcias were there and they were like, holy crap, this is amazing too. And I was like, okay, I have it on high authority from the Mexican family themselves that this is actually good too.
Can you say the name again?
Fonda La Poblanita.
So with my pick in round two, I'm going to go with the where to bring your family from St. Chuck. And this one, I don't know if it would make everyone else's list, but it feels a little personal and I just want to like make sure I grab it. Olympia Taverna over on McCausland.
Oh yeah,
deep cut.
You know, you got like
that's good.
It's been there.
That's
it's,
a great
it's solid.
One to bring your St.
You know, there
Charles
is
family.
A parking lot for them, but they do have to cross the street. But it is signalized, and you can get the flaming cheese and go up.
What's the flaming cheese called?
You know, the flaming cheese.
I am Greek. What is the flaming cheese called?
Well, I don't want to mispronounce it. So how about you tell everybody? I think when you say it, I'll know it.
Like, your skin is very olive. I didn't realize, but.
I'm half Irish, half Greek. To be fair, it does olive. Sound like it would be like a Japanese word.
Uh-huh.
It's Saganaki.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. Now you know. To back up your pick, my grandfather from Greece went there a few weeks before he passed. And he said that it was good.
Hey,
that's all you need.
It'd be funny. He's like, my grandfather said it was mid.
Yeah,
and then he died.
My 85-year-old grandfather said, as his dying words, "This is mid." Was he just speaking about his entire life?
Oh man,
my life was mid.
leading off the.
That's how he died.
Leading off the three picks. I'm going to take our first not a restaurant here.
Okay.
You better not.
This one, it is like, I feel like the not a restaurant category is like a great opportunity for like things no one knows, and I'm really excited to hear what Brian's is. But like this one is just like one I'll go to all the time, and it's like anytime I was like, oh, we gotta get there, we gotta get to it. And it's gonna be Duckbill at Platypus.
Oh, good.
Because that's like I call it, it's a snack shack.
That's a good
inside
one,
of a bar.
That's a good one.
And they're, I mean, they do, I mean, you can argue it, like, I could see of this and that, but I say it's a snack stop inside of a bar. It's not really its own thing.
Are we going to allow it?
I say we count it. I say we count it.
All right.
Yeah.
It feels.
You know why I say we count it? Because there's way better picks than that one.
Yeah, that's, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, let's count it.
I love Duckbill, though. It is one of the.
It is good.
As a vegetarian, it's great.
Nice.
Late
you,
night.
You took your picks.
Popcorn chicken, come fries, popcorn sucks. Cauliflower, different sauces. It's just, they do there. One thing and they do it well.
Surprises, let me know.
Say it in sober.
Oh God, bring it up. All right, another super deep cut that no one has heard of except for this guy. So when Bradley and I,
best not a restaurant. The...
Oh yeah, that.
So David, I don't know if she's still there. I don't know if she's still there. This is best not a restaurant. And it is at the intersection of Wise and Bellevue in Richmond Heights. So just southwest of St. Mary's. It's in the Brodega, or the In-N-Out Market, right next to that laundromat. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. You know that laundromat?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But nice. So it's just south of
Clayton.
It's south of Clayton and north of 40 on Bellevue.
Okay.
By St. Mary's. And there is no name for it because she just serves street tacos out of this bodega. And it was
like only on
Saturdays.
Only on
Saturdays, yeah. in the spring through like the end of summer, from noon to 3.
And noon to sell out, really.
Noon to sell out. And it's the best freaking street tacos. So good. So freaking good. I don't know if she's still doing it, but she had like her two kids would help her, and they were so nice. They were so cool. They're just like hanging out making tacos for 3 hours in a bodega, and it's so delicious. They had al pastor that like blew my freaking socks off. I don't know the name of it. I don't even think it has a name. Maybe it did.
My pick. I'm gonna go with my where you go when the CEO's paying, and I don't know. Some people might not consider this high end dining. I do, because you know I've been there once and went at the bill, and that's Indo. One thing about Indo, other than the food that's fantastic, is Nick Bogner's dad built all of that outside part during COVID. From like Home Depot gazebos. Have you been out?
Really?
Yeah. It was like his COVID project. They told us about it when we went there. I was like, what is this? Because it's so unique looking. And the way they have it set up, it's like a maze. But everything feels really secluded back there. And they have heaters in the winter, like at almost every table. Like it's really cool. But it was just this giant weird project that he did over COVID. And all of a sudden they had this gigantic outdoor space when they opened back up. Oh, it was cool. Very cool. I also went there like... right when they opened, and it was like kind of like things in a bowl restaurant, like a lot of places. And then they became, I don't know when, they like went from the Charmeleon to Charizard, like, you know, like restaurant. Anyway, yeah, Indo, baby. Nick Bogner.
Good pick.
Nick from Indo.
I feel like Sado might have been the right answer.
Okay, I'm going to go with not a restaurant.
Okay.
I've been thinking about this. I've had a few minutes to think about it.
Yeah.
I can't say it's not as good as like Latina woman with her children inside of a laundromat making tacos out of a cooler. Like
it's cool.
It's pretty awesome. Cool. Not a restaurant choice. But I stand by it as something that's very good, which is getting whole smoked chickens from Deerberg's.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. I like that choice. I like that pick.
I dabbled last week for the first time and guys.
Okay.
It's good.
I'm going to do good. This now. Okay.
First of all, the whole experience of buying it is great. The people at Deerberg's are very nice.
They are.
And yes. Then the food product itself, very delicious. Maybe pick up some home-style mashed potatoes from the case while you're there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
A little grab-and-go situation.
Yeah. Deerbrook's grab-and-go situation superior to Schnucks. I'm just going to say that on record.
Honorable mention that we'll maybe throw this one into the bullpen would be the Italian sub at De Gregorio's.
Good call.
That's available for pick, actually. It's a free agent still. Has anyone here had it? Oh, you're a vegetarian.
Yeah. No, I have had it, yes.
So my place that I'm going to bring the St. Charles family to is Brasserie in the Central West.
God damn it.
Did I just steal it? Did I just steal it? Oh, shit. That wasn't even my first pick. Sorry.
No, it's good.
That was raw. That was not right. That was rude. Sorry.
No. It's the reason I chose Brasserie is a little bit different than probably why you, but continue.
My sister and her family were up over Thanksgiving. She has two young kids. We went to Brasserie. They got cheeseburgers. I also got a cheeseburger. And my sister got beef bourguignon. My brother got duck. Lauren got beef bourguignon. So everybody can kind of get what they want. It's family atmosphere, but also a little bit, has a little bit of something special for people who want to have a nice restaurant experience, you know?
Nice.
But it's casual.
It is.
I'm going to say this like a person not from Miami. I had to look up, this is my not a restaurant pick, by the way. I had to look up what this place was called. So I got married at Casa Loma. Yaki's one of my favorite restaurants in the city just to like go to. It's like, it's fun, you know, it's pizza, baby. It's vibey. My pick is not Yaki's. Just down the street, there is a convenience store that I am now seeing is called the Carniceria Latino Americana, Latin American Meat Marketplace, place, etc. But it's not that. So this place is like it's a grocery store, convenience store, and they have this little tin affixation on the side of it where a dude just like smokes stuff. And I've been in there twice and the menu's been different. And it's even as a vegetarian, it's pretty amazing.
I can confirm that the tacos there are vying for the best on that street.
And to be fair, some pretty good tacos on that street. It's got a whole like the Mexican town row there is all pretty fantastic. I'm also a tacos and ice cream stan when it comes to tacos. I think their selection is really nice for vegetarians. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Sure.
I don't know about anything else. But yeah, the little tin hut off the side of Carniceria Latino Americana.
All right. Sticky picky. It's my sticky picky. Mm-hmm. I am so stuck between two things. So I'm going to choose one, and then I'm going to say the other one as my honorable mention. And whoever still needs sticky stuff. Do you still need sticky stuff?
My sticky is
sticky stuff.
Colin and I both need stickies.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's why
I don't like saying that way.
Sticky pick?
No, do you need sticky stuff? Do you need sticky stuff, David?
Yeah,
sticky stuff. That's true.
God damn it.
Are you going to steal my sticky stuff, David?
No. Okay, it's because this is a place that's very, very important to me and my wife, and it is La Pizza. Is my sticky place.
La Pizza, what do they serve?
The best pizza in the city.
Oh, pizza. Okay.
By a long shot.
Lucky guess.
And it's not even close. It's not even close.
It beats the Gloria or Loafer's Pizza?
It does.
Wow. Interesting.
It does.
So I've heard it's good. I've never had it.
The reason I say that is because Union Loafer's and Gloria is like artisanal a little bit.
This
right?
is just like heavy
it
cheese.
It is Brooklyn style pizza, man. This dude is from Brooklyn. Every time I'm in there, he
starts talking like that.
He's just like the good kind of standoffish, you know, where he's just like, "What's up? Come on." And it's just like, "Yeah, that's what I want."
Typically, the sticky floor.
That's the guy I want making my pizza.
The sticky floor places typically the meaner they are.
Yeah.
The better they are. And this is also it's the 3.5 stars on Yelp.
It's the perfect number.
My number four pick. For sticky floor, this one's. It's more of a personal pick. I like wings. I don't have like.
I'm weird like that, guys. I just love wings.
You know what's weird? Wings.
But so this spot, not the best wings, not even like particularly superior wings, but I think the best value for wings. Like, they're good enough.
Like,
and
most, like, least cents per wing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, for a baseline of quality.
Okay.
And, like, none of them are, like, stinkers. Like, every individual wing is, like, hits your baseline. But it is...
Knowing you, I feel like you have a quantitative, like, baseline. Like, you have a spreadsheet somewhere that's, like, here is where a good wing is.
But it is Grand Grill...
Okay.
On South Grand, it's one of those.
Not where I thought you were going.
It's one of those many places. I discovered this place when I was door dashing, and it's one of those many places.
You discovered it?
Yes, I went forth and discovered. I was introduced to this place when I was door dashing.
That's what Bradley does to me all the time when I like find a chord that I like on guitar, and I was like, Bradley, I found this chord. He's like, oh, you found it?
The first one.
Yeah.
But it's one of those places that it's like, you go in and it's like part convenience store, part hot food shop. This one doesn't have as much weed paraphernalia as some of the places do. But you know, you can also get like,
that's a great description.
So it's like,
does it have very colorful photos on the windows of food?
And like, yeah. Colored string lights and
like the Chicago Fish and Grill and the St. Louis Fish and Chicken. Yeah.
Miami
and all those
Grill.
Does it have faded pictures of Danny Aiello on the wall? Never mind.
Anyway,
that's a very
was
very
that a
specific,
do the right thing reference?
It's a specific reference. You could tell.
But it is South Grand, just south of Gravois. It is just like a little bit past like Buttery. It's like across from some gas station.
Mm. Cool.
Like you can get. I think like I forget the exact pricing, but it's like I'm pretty sure it's under $1 a wing with fries.
That's impressive. That's
and
impressive.
They're like pretty good.
Yeah. I get them sometimes I want them.
As the Beatles said, good is all you need.
Yes.
David?
No.
No, to you.
Yeah.
This is my CEO pick, and this one's going to be... I saved it because this one's a little left field because I don't have a lot of experience with like super expensive
food. And Howard Schultz isn't your CEO anymore.
Yeah.
Was he ever your CEO?
That's true.
Not my CEO. Not my CEO. My CEO is the people.
Yeah, baby.
Solidarity.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
But if the CEO's paying and I'm going to be somewhere where I'm eating, it's going to be like a private box at Busch Stadium during a game.
That's a good take.
Very creative.
That's a very creative take.
The food's going to be good and the drinks and food are going to be free and the ball game should be...
But why at Busch?
Because
they have better food options at...
I want to watch baseball.
Okay, yeah.
You can probably get anything you want in one of those boxes too.
That's a good point.
And really, like, truly, like the pick is like a private box, you know, private, you know, lounge box at any
GM's box?
At any stadium.
Because the GM's box is really nice. Bringing my family from St. Charles in is stuck between two again. One that I want to go to myself, you know, and then one that I just was like, that'll make everybody happy at the family. So I'm going to do the one, I'm going to choose the one that will make everybody happy because that's the correct pick, which is obviously the Boathouse at Forest Park.
Yep. Nice.
That's the one restaurant my mom, who did not live in St. Louis, knew was in St. Louis.
Yeah, that's my point. It's like everybody wants to go to Forest Park because I feel safe in Forest Park. And it's like, oh, it's a giant parking lot out there too. We can park wherever we want. And now it's owned. Is it owned by Sugar Fire now?
They like are currently have the contract. It switches,
mm-hmm. But like
Sugar Fire, the barbecue that you take your family from St. Charles to.
Yeah,
but they have it out there now.
Yeah, they've had it for years.
Sugar Fire is like my mid barbecue in my opinion, which is also like another reason why. But a place that I would be okay with going, but it's not on my list, would be Adara in Central West End. But it's in Central West End. It's Italian. Mm. Because it's got a nice little like patio out back that's really picturesque, and everybody like, David, this is so nice, you know. And it's in Central West End, which everybody's like, it's the only safe place in city that feels like the city.
I didn't know they had nice places in the city.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I know that is because from St. Charles, so I know all the places where the people from St. Charles feel safe.
All right, for my last pick. And I did have an honorable mention. I'm going to say it for a different category because everybody's picked theirs already. But the best not a restaurant is obviously any Catholic fish fry.
Oh man!
I was gonna pick that.
That's good. Yeah. I was at one on Friday.
Very relevant.
The Brentwood Mary Magdalene, which is top notch. Good sides. Brentwood Mary Magdalene's a very, very, very good.
Can I ask the group though? Catfish or cod? This side of the river, I think it's all catfish, right?
Yes. Catfish is good.
Weirdly, you go into Metro East, it's all cod.
But there is cod over on this side too. Well, and they're all—they all are named the same. Everyone's like, "This is God cod," and you're like, "Oh, clever! You're the first one."
I was going to say our cod is an awesome cod.
Yes.
In Illinois, they sell you walleye that is definitely not walleye too.
Oh, really?
For sure, it's not.
You know, yeah. I mean, it's safe to say
that's good. But which one are you going to? You're going to the Serbian right next to your house?
Hell yeah!
Yeah, which is top notch.
It's an Orthodox fish fry.
Yeah.
Yeah, because growing up Orthodox, you got to do it.
Which means they're not afraid of like frying in like to the max.
My favorite place with a sticky floor. This is a recent little addition.
A new development?
You discovered?
A new development for you.
Something I discovered.
I walked in and they opened.
Right. No, I opened. I opened them.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
That is the Kim Van restaurant.
Oh!
Dude, the Kim Van restaurant. Like
new to my knowledge as well.
It's like right behind Greenfinch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the next block. It's on Gravois. It's a hole in the wall. It's actually much nicer inside than you'd expect.
I've walked there multiple times while I'm doing admin at the bar.
It's great. It's the best St. Paul sandwich in the city, and it's kind of not close.
Finish this off.
I actually have a hard time being like a place I feel like a colonizer because that's not like a complex I have. I don't feel like a colonizer. But a place where you
What's
go.
What's that say about us, man? Whoa.
I just don't have guilt like that.
So did you grow up Catholic?
He has guilt about the rest of the thing.
No, yeah. Just like a place where I go where most of the people there are not like me.
Sure.
Is Curry Club in Chesterfield.
Curry Club?
In Chesterfield.
Wow. Yeah, baby. It's really good. It's a strip mall Indian restaurant.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, it's really good. It's just past the mall and, you know, you turn off the highway. And
I'm writing this down.
Yeah, it's very, very good. They have dosa there, fresh dosa. And it's the first time and only time I've had dosa. And it was brilliant.
Man.
Great for vegetarians too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've got like a hot line with like various types of hot red and yellow things that they can scoop out, and then they've got a kitchen in the back that they can do more like short order stuff.
Excellent.
They do the fresh dosas, they got, you know, garlic naan, all that stuff. It's just awesome, and everyone in there is like West County Indian. So
cool.
Yeah.
It's really brilliant, and it's you can eat three cafeteria sized trays of food for $25.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we're gone. Okay, so Brian won the draft, like we said. before we end the show, I have something really, really important that St. Louisans need to hear. There was a gentleman named Bob Heil. If you are in the music community of St. Louis, then you've heard of his name. He is the business owner of Heil Sound. Heil Sound is perhaps one of the greatest audio companies, period, to ever exist. Bob, as a 15-year-old, played the Wurlitzer organ at the Fox as a 15-year-old. In 65, he worked with the Beatles doing their live show at Shea Stadium and had to get the audio PA system working to run through the PA, which was just like an absolute like nonsensical thing to do.
You're saying they played like a whole concert through the speakers that would do like announcements.
Yes, and
in
he's
the
reason it even went through. And in 1970, the Dead came through St. Louis. The Grateful Dead came through St. Louis. The Grateful Dead had an issue with their tech, with their speaker systems, their stacked speaker setup cabinet. Essentially he created, an array system of four different arrays and like specific tweeters on it, not without going like too much into detail, made it so everybody in the audience could hear every single lyric come out of Jerry Garcia's mouth.
And
for the first time.
From what you said earlier, too, he like basically did that on the fly.
He did that like basically on the fly, and they went on and performed perhaps like what is the greatest show the Grateful Dead ever had done up like until that point, right?
So they're
and they asked him, say, hey, can you please do that for the rest of us and come on tour with us for the rest of this specific tour, and like make these speaker boxes for us. And that is what we now know as the modern day sound system.
The line array.
The line array.
Yeah.
And Bob created it. He passed away on February 28th over in Belleville, where he's from, and is one of the most prolific, if not one of the most important St. Louisans from the 20th century. And you should look him up, and you should know him, and you should support Heil Sound and their microphones. And we're not using Heil microphones, but we should be.
If you want to send it to
yeah,
him,
we'll talk to Ash and Michelle over at Heil, who are excellent people, and they are running that company in the right direction. They're just a massive, massive, important piece of St. Louis. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Bob's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So important figurehead that passed away. Rest in peace, Bob.
Overarching is produced at Fly North Theatricals in residence with the Kranzberg Arts Foundation here in sunny Grand Center, St. Luby Magooby. You can find us online at Overarching ST Lewis on Instagram and wherever else you get your shit. I'm Colin.
I'm David.
I'm Bradley.
And I'm Brian.
Yeah, and this has been Overarching.